Celebrity Trump haters are turning full-blown witch and summoning legions of demons for a 2020 supernatural warfare. We have to talk about that. Also, what is your role in this warfare? What is your role? Why is the Lord so often called Lord of Hosts? What's the true meaning behind that, and what does it mean for you? Also, YouTube has banned us yet again. All that and more on today's Spec Report. All right, everybody. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Well, if you're viewing this, unless you're viewing this like 2 weeks from now, then you're probably not viewing it on YouTube. YouTube has once again banned Daily Renegade. Now we cannot upload for 2 weeks. Why, you might ask? Because of a video that I posted months ago on the subject matter was how China was creating monkey-human hybrids, which is absolutely true. There's really, it's not even a conspiracy. Like, it's just true. That's what they're doing. They tried labeling it as the sale of controlled substances or something. And that's in like the same category sometimes that they'll throw at us, like bomb making, like they put us in the same category as like, YouTube creators who teach their audience how to make and build bombs and or who try to sell like illegal drugs or something. I'm telling you, it's coming. We're gonna lose our channel. One more strike and it's gone. And if they're digging into months old videos to try to find something, of course they will find something. So that is bound to happen, unfortunately, but that's where we're at. So I have made some big executive decisions over here at Daily Renegade. Now, we have been kind of pacing out the website improvements because we wanted to make sure that we had enough infrastructure in place. We wanted to make sure we had employees and the funding that we need in order to build this thing. So we've been doing kind of little improvements here and there to get it up and running. Well, this has kind of motivated me to say, you know what, we are going to have to get a lot more aggressive and make some big changes, basically immediate, even though it's going to cost a lot more money up front to do that. But we're just going to trust in the Lord that the funds will come and that he will provide the funds for that. So I have hired some amazing people who are completely redesigning the website. It's going to be a lot simpler, but you're going to be able to do a lot more. And I told them, just do it as fast as you can and efficiently as you can, you know, make this the best website online, you know. So a pretty low bar, right? But they have some amazing ideas, and I've given them some of my ideas, and I think what we're going to have for you is going to be awesome. Not only will you have everything that we've talked about before, all of the stuff that we've promised already that you already knew was coming, but we have some more really cool stuff ahead. This will also help us get a phone app and a TV app to you guys sooner. So all of that is coming. Thank you so much for your patience. And for those who have become members, thank you for doing that. We want to get as many members as we can, because it's a costly pursuit. But you know, we need to be able to host our own videos. We can't rely on any, because you know, a common solution that people will say is, well, why can't you just go to BitChute or go to DTube or something? Well, we do have some of those, and we do back up videos on that. But ultimately, what we need to do is host our own videos. Right now, we are sort of going through Vimeo to do that for members, but we're making a change. I don't trust Vimeo. I don't trust any of these guys. Vimeo has been deleting accounts as well and censoring people. So we have we've developed a way where we can house our own videos. No one can take us offline. No one can say that. No one can censor us. Basically, we're pretty much there now because with Vimeo, they're all private videos, and but it's only a matter of time before, you know, Vimeo is going to start cracking down on that stuff too. So, so that's where we're at. We've got a lot of big improvements, but I did want to get that out of the way. So we are still making content. We are still making videos every day, even though you're not going to see anything on YouTube for a while. We have 2 weeks. But you know, again, eventually our channel is going to get deleted. So, we are putting plans in place now for that eventuality. We have for actually quite some time, but just because you don't see anything uploaded on YouTube, I don't want you to think that means that we've given up or that we're not creating content. We are still making videos. We're still giving you the same amount of stuff that we've given you, all this time. And we're going to continue to do so. If anything, it motivates us to bring you more. So, let's start with this story from, let's see, this comes from the Guardian. Oh, actually, yeah. The headline, if you wanted to look at it for yourself, Monsters, Men, and Magic, Why Feminists Turn to Witchcraft to Oppose Trump. This is actually a thing that's happening. We are engaged in a spiritual war here. It's not just a war of ideas. It's not just a war of theology. It's an actual supernatural battle. Yeah, we live in a physical world, so it comes out in weird ways. It doesn't look like a battle, but that's exactly what it is. And one faction of this is the recent uptick, this new trend, this new fad, this new obsession with some women and some men too, but with witchcraft. And they are attempting to use witchcraft to, you know, stop Trump and stop their political opponents. Apparently, it doesn't seem to be working very well, but that's still what they're doing. And ultimately, of course, as we know, it's an offense to God. We have a part in this battle, too. That's what today's Peck Report is really about. Who are some of the factions of the enemy, and who are we in this battle? What is our job? So, you know, there was this writer, Andy Zeisler, told Elle magazine on the eve of the 2017 Women's March. So this was even a little while ago, but Andy Zeisler said then, quote, This is the time for getting scary. We need to go full witch, end quote. So at the dawn of the Trump administration, witches were suddenly everywhere in the U.S. You know, neo-pagans used blogs and social media to circulate popular rituals for hexing Brock Turner, who served less than 3 months in jail after he was convicted of sexual assault. You know, the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, who was accused of sexual assault, which he, of course, denies, and pretty much it's pretty obvious all of that stuff was fabricated. And even Donald Trump himself. So the so-called Trump curse was enacted by thousands of people, including even singer Lana Del Rey, who said, quote, I'm a witch and I'm hunting you, end quote. Oh, no, actually, that quote came from Lindy West in the New York Times. Jess Zimmerman and Jaya Saxena wrote in a self-help book called Basic Witches. It sounds silly, but I mean, this is spiritual warfare. But they explained, quote, if you speak when you're told to be quiet, take pride when you're told to feel shame. Love what and who you love, whether or not others approve, you're practicing witchcraft. End quote. So they just come out and say it, you know. And then, of course, if you read Second Coming of the New Age, you've known where all this pride and self-esteem kind of movement stuff comes from, where it stems from anyway. So the writer of this article from The Guardian says that half of the women, it says, quote, half the women I know called their group chats covens. Trump developed a penchant for tweeting the phrase witch hunt in caps whenever he felt persecuted, which the conservative political cartoonist A.F. Bronco dramatized exactly the wrong way around with the Democratic leaders Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi depicting his gun-toting witches on the hunt for a helpless mortal man, end quote. Now, of course, just like any of these publications, this comes from The Guardian. There's going to be political bias, of course. But, you know, pop culture has exhumed every witch it could find. So in 2018 alone, there were high-profile reboots of Charmed, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, where Sabrina worships the devil now. It's not just a cute little teen show where she talks to a cat. It's actual Satan worship now. There was Dario Argento's Suspiria, and in the final days of her 2016 campaign, Trump opponent Hillary Clinton, the first female Democratic nominee, had been accused of participating in ritual sex magic and attending a witch's church with her female friends. And of course, there was the Spirit spirit cooking things too. So by early 2019, there were plenty of accusations against the Democratic Congresswoman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, of belonging to a coven of witches that cast spells on Trump 24 hours a day. This sort of goes back to this weird tradition. You know, the witch has always been like the feminist monster of choice. So in 1968, the group Witch, it's actually called Witch, W-I-T-C-H, descended upon Wall Street in black pointy hats and cloaks, semi-seriously intending to hex it. But they also released hundreds of live mice into Madison Square Garden during a bridal fair. Marriage was a reoccurring target of ire and anger. You know, the leaflet announcing the action invited women everywhere to, quote, confront the whore makers, end quote. So the manifesto read, quote, witches have always been women who dared to be groovy, courageous, aggressive, intelligent, nonconformist, explorative, curious, independent, sexually liberated, revolutionary. You are a witch by being female, untamed, angry, joyous, and immortal. See, end quote. See how they want to twist these words around. You're just a witch because you just are who you are. Now, you're a witch if you practice witchcraft. There needs to be an effort there. Now, this Guardian article is really telling because it's trying to play down what witchcraft is, because the next line in it says, all that and you didn't even have to eat a baby, you know, like trying to poke fun at those of us like me, like you, who are actually concerned about the rise of occultism and witchcraft in our country, who are actually surprised by how much it's increased lately, pretty much solely on the Democratic side, strangely enough. Now, the article tries to say that these supposed witches in 68 were just joking. But the witches today aren't. I don't know enough about the 68, you know, witch craze to know if it was a joke. I doubt it was. I would really doubt that. It was a joke. A lot of times, and you see this a lot on the left too, they hide behind humor. You know, if they get caught doing something that might be looked unfavorably by the popular culture, they'll say they were joking. You know, it was just a joke. Like, remember when, that failed actress, what's her, Kathy Griffin, when she held up that really angry photo of herself holding a decapitated Trump head. And she was just trying to, and then after that, she got a lot of blowback for it, of which she whines quite a bit now, saying it ruined her career. Her career was ruined. Did she ever really have one? But it's been ruined for a long time. But what did she do? She tried to say, oh, well, it was a joke. Can't you take a joke? Yeah, you see that a lot. So, but it's whether it was a joke back then or not, it's definitely not a joke now. It's a contemporary figure of resistance today. And you see it all over the place. The kind of fascination with witchcraft sort of, kind of gained some ground in the 90s. But it's really taking off now, but it's not looked at in terms of, like, say, Harry Potter or even darker movies from that around that time, like The Craft. It's not really looked at like that anymore. Now it's more of a political movement, which is strange because everything has to be politics now. But really, it's not politics, as Andrew Breitbart was known for saying. Politics is downstream of culture, so it's indicative of the culture, but the culture is indicative of whatever the cult is, whatever the religious spirit kind of is for that time. That's where everything stems from. Even if these people claim to be atheists, you know, you can only really hide away from any kind of religion for so long. You're going to fall into something. We as human beings are just naturally prone towards some type of religion or some type of spirituality. That's why many atheists have gone to like New Age stuff, because you can be an atheist New Ager. A lot of New Agers don't believe in a personal God at all. They believe in a creative force kind of thing. So you can be an atheist and believe that. I mean, not really logically. You can't really logically take that too far. But there are plenty of atheist New Agers who convince themselves that they can be both. So you see a big uptick in this. And it's continuing today. Now today, what's really in the headlines, what's really popular is politics. More popular than I think it ever has been, certainly in my lifetime, in my short lifetime. But that is the outlet from which this weird spirituality is funneling through. So you gotta look at the spirituality. You see an uptick in witchcraft because that is clearly against God, the Lord of Hosts, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And so it's only going to continue. Now, it might not always be a political outlet. I think it's that now just because that's what most people... Imagine if you're the devil, if you're the enemy, and you want to deceive as many people as possible. Well, you're going to go with whatever the fad is for that time. You're going to go with whatever the popular thing is. And since the... really, since the campaign of Donald Trump, ever since Donald Trump announced he was running... Politics has just been the thing in the forefront for everybody, pretty much. Even, you know, you can't escape it. So, of course, Satan is going to use that. He's going to use that to try to deceive as many people. I mean, imagine that's why now you have pretty much every Democratic nominee or candidate, excuse me, who now is advocating for things that Obama never would have advocated for. You know, he probably would today, but, you know, not only, this is only one presidential term away, just one more back, just one into the past. And you have Obama, he didn't advocate for open borders. I mean, he was actually called, he was actually kind of made fun of for, he was called like the deporter in chief because he deported so many people. But that wasn't a controversial viewpoint back then. It is now, at least on the left. Openly, the infanticide stuff, that's what really freaks me out. No restrictions on abortion. That's basically what every Democratic candidate wants right now. Nothing on abortion, no restrictions. And why? Well, they'll say it's because it's women's reproductive rights, but it's not. Again, politics comes from culture, which comes from the spirit of the religion over the people at that time. In the culture, abortion is extremely popular. Where does that come from? Ultimately, it's Baal sacrifice. It's sacrifice to Baal. It goes back to witchcraft. I think that they're seeing, you know, these witches are seeing this big increase in abortion. And all of a sudden, maybe they start getting some inflated egos and they start thinking they have more power than they really do. And maybe that's why. Think about all of their policies. Think about all their policies and how each one of them can tie back to witchcraft. Do you know how much witchcraft is in Mexico and in South America and all that? I mean, it is really inundated in that culture. And you know, if these people are going to, you know, come here illegally, then they don't have an interest in assimilation. So all of this stuff ties back to witchcraft. You can actually take every single talking point that they have and somehow tie it back to witchcraft. Why should the government pay for everything for you? You know, free student loans. How does that tie back to witchcraft? Because the individual ultimately is God. That's the belief. So the individual should be served. Everything the individual wants. You know, free healthcare, free college, without any consequences. Because they have elevated themselves to godhood, which is absolutely witchcraft. I mean, that's the whole point of it. You know, that you have power over nature. You have power over everybody and everything else. So we're going to see this continue. But I believe that's what the enemy is planning. So what's our role then? What is our role? What does it really mean when the Bible says that, you know, God is the Lord of hosts? What does that mean? Are we the hosts? Who's the hosts? What is our role in this spiritual war? And so we got to talk about that. But before we do, I have got to tell you about a couple things. First off, I'm actually really excited about this. We picked up somebody new. So we now have some excellent colloidal silver. If you're a colloidal silver fan, I tell you, I didn't believe in any of this stuff for a long time, but my recent stomach flu that I just got over, I started feeling better after taking a colloidal silver. I actually felt better after taking some activated charcoal as well. That's something else that I might look into to provide for you guys. I want to provide you guys anything that's going to help. So obviously the stuff that I promote here is all anecdotal. You're not going to get it's like homeopathic stuff. So there's not going to be scientific tests and things. Now there are some there. I should say mainstream, widespread scientific tests you're not going to really find. But there's some great research online that you can do. A lot of people swear by this stuff. Pure colloidal silver. Silver of Life has the purest colloidal silver. It's the number one rated. And it's very fairly priced. It's excellent. If you are watching this on YouTube, like way later in the future when we actually are allowed to upload again, you can click on the link in the description below. I still think even if you're watching this on Brighteon or BitChute or something, I believe you can still click on the link. Or you can just go to dailyrenegade.com. Easiest place to go. But colloidal silver, people take it when they're not feeling good. It's a good immune booster. You can even use it for cleaning, disinfecting surfaces. We've done that. It's a really great cleaning agent, but yeah, you can drink it. I am a believer in this stuff now. I wasn't for a long time, but I am now. So that can help out a lot. Also, our friends, while you're there, our friends at CBD Pure and CBD Pets, the absolute purest, most organic, non-GMO CBD that you are going to find on the market today. I take this stuff every day. Again, I wasn't a believer in any of this. You know, I was the most modern medicine kind of guy. Just shoot me full of mercury. I don't care what's in it as long as I'm going to feel better. I was that kind of guy. But I tried this other stuff and it just works better. And it's not a placebo effect, you know, because I haven't really been prone to that kind of thing too often. A lot of it's because I'm a chronic pain sufferer. So I need to know, like, if I'm in pain, I need to know if something's wrong. I've had a lifetime of learning how to listen to my body's signals and stuff when it comes to pain and things. CBD helps me a lot. I take it an hour before bed, and I sleep great. I dream amazingly, which is awesome. Like, I dream the way I used to dream when I was just like a teenager or a kid, really. I used to have super vivid dreams, and then just the crushing force of life, you know, kind of stripped that away from me. But I'm able to kind of have these really just fun, adventurous, colorful dreams again that I used to have when I was a kid. It doesn't get you high. It's non-psychoactive. It doesn't have anything like that in it. But it's also helped cut down some of my chronic pain. People have used it for that. I don't have to take as much kratom now. Because I've been taking this every day, so that's great. Go to dailyrenegade.com or click in the link below. And lastly, speaking of kratom, Coastline Kratom. I take kratom every day for chronic pain. I don't have to take as much now because I also do CBD, but Coastline Kratom is really good. All of this stuff, by the way, all of it has a money-back guarantee, no questions asked, so there's really no risk to you. But, you know, do your own research. Kratom is amazing. It's just a powder that you take. You just throw it in some applesauce or wash it down with some water. And I take it every day. It's given me my life back. I can actually work and function and not be in extreme pain from my chronic bone disease. Yeah, I just want to give you guys things that can help because I know a lot of you out there. I know my audience, and I know a lot of you out there suffer from some form of chronic pain. A lot of people have messed up backs or knees, and believe me, I got all that too. So if there's anything that I can do to serve you, to help you, to not have to be in pain all the time, I want to do that. So those are the things I would personally suggest. You can find that all at dailyrenegade.com. While you're there at Daily Renegade, please become a member if you're not a member already. $10 a month or $100 a year. Just go to dailyrenegade.com and become a member. It's a good thing to do because, for one thing, you get full episodes of everything. You're also taking part in building something here. And look, we're not a stagnant pond. We are a free-flowing river. What do I mean by that? 20% of our proceeds, 20% of your memberships goes to other ministries to help them out too. We support two ministries that we actually just did an interview with Shelly Neese, so you can find that if you want information on these ministries. But we support two ministries that go out and minister to the Jewish people, spread the gospel, try to get these people saved so they can know who their Savior is. Wouldn't that be amazing? That'd solve a lot of the world's problems right there, just getting people saved. So we support two ministries who are working in Israel to do that, which is amazing. We support a pro-life ministry. We support them and the amazing work that they do. And we also support St. Jude's. Now, St. Jude's is not really a ministry per se, but they do they do treat kids for cancer, and they treated my son. So all of that. So 20% of your proceeds goes to those things. We are a free flowing river. We're not a stagnant pond. So you're supporting a great cause. We're all building something together, but you're going to get so much cool stuff. You get every episode that we only put pieces of online because YouTube keeps deleting our stuff. You get full episodes, completely uncensored. And they're all on the website, so you have access to them anytime that you want them. We have some amazing things coming up. We're going to do a big video collection library, so you can view all of your favorite videos there too. We're building a lot of really, really neat stuff. I don't want to get too ahead of myself because I have to talk to these new web developers that we picked up, which are totally awesome. They fully are committed to the cause. They love what we're doing. They might actually be producing a show for Daily Renegade, so we're in talks about that. That might happen. But we got a lot of cool stuff. We're also going to be developing a TV app and a phone app. So it'll be even better for you. So yeah, keep us in prayer. Please become a member if you haven't already. You won't regret it. And get the annual membership, by the way. I mean, I know it's $100, but if you do $100 a year, you get 2 months for free. Amazing. And you know, you just have to pay for it one time and you don't have to think about it for a whole year. All that money you're saving, you could be buying colloidal silver and CBD and kratom and stuff. So so make sure you do that. All right. Well, we're going to call it good for people here who are watching on Facebook, and if you are miraculously watching this on YouTube, if you're watching this on YouTube, it's an old video. But again, we don't really do a whole lot of current event stuff because we want to make timeless material that you guys can go back and always enjoy. So that's what we have. But yeah, we're going to call it good. Please follow us. Subscribe to us if you can. Click the bell for notifications. We are basically everywhere. We have a list of alternative platforms on the Daily Renegade website, so you can find that in the articles. Go search for that. And big things are coming. I'm excited about the future. This YouTube ban is not going to keep us down. We won't let it. All right, so once again, become a member, dailyrenegade.com. Thank you so much. All right, members only. Thank you for your membership. Thank you for being part of the team, part of the family. I really like what God's doing with this. I love the team that we've been able to build behind the scenes. We're gonna be getting some of the members of the team on the show as soon as we're ready for it, to unveil all of the new stuff that you're gonna get to enjoy. Now, there's this Hebrew expression, Adonai Tisavot, and it's translated by the King James Version as Lord of Hosts, and appears several hundreds of times in the Bible. You know, to say that would be a stretch. You know, it's not several of hundreds of times. It's probably a little over 100. But still, it's enough to make that expression a common one because a lot of people are familiar with it. So what does that mean? Well, the word Adonai, this actually comes from Mosaic Magazine, if you're interested in checking out the citations and things. But the word Adonai is composed of the noun Adon, meaning Lord or Master, and the possessive first person pluralizing suffix I. So if you have Havir, meaning friend, or Havarai would be my friends. So Kova would be hat. Kova I would be my hats, so on and so forth. So that's what that AI means. That's what Adonai is. So, you know, it'd be like my Lord, or my masters, my lords, my masters. And it's actually used in this sense once in the Bible by Abraham when addressing the three angels who visit his tent to announce the future birth of Isaac. Now, in all other biblical appearances, Adonai means God or Lord. And Jewish tradition dictates that the Tetragrammaton, which is God's unutterably sacred four-letter name that's spelled Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, typically we say Yahweh or Yahuwah, but it's likewise to be read aloud as Adonai. Now, Adonai is itself considered by observant Jews to be too sacred of a word for ordinary speech, in which it's amended to Ad-Hashem or Hashem, and fully pronounced only when praying or reading from the Torah. Now, we as Christians don't typically believe that. I guess there are some that do. There are some like sacred namers and Hebrew rooters that do. Not all of them, but some of them do. But typically, Christians, they'll say, you know, we'll say God or Jesus, you know, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, no one can be absolutely certain of how the Tetragrammaton is actually pronounced, or how it was pronounced in the time of the Bible. Modern biblical scholarship has basically settled on Yahweh as its most probable form. So Yahweh of the armies is a pretty good guess as any as to what Adonai Tisavot originally conveyed to its listeners. Yahweh of the armies. So some Bible translations have rendered Tisavot as a proper noun, part of God's name, that could not be translated at all. Hence the Greek Septuagint's Kyrios, or Kyrios Sabaoth, and then Martin Luther's Herzabaoth. Now, generally, this word Tisavot, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, by the way. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. But it's T-S-V-A apostrophe O-T. So to me, it looks like Tisavot. We're just going to go with that. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that has been rendered as an ordinary noun that belongs to a divine epithet, like Nephilgerata Zeus, or Zeus the cloud gatherer. In Homer, this is the approach of the Latin Vulgate's Dominus Exercitum, and of the King James Lord of Hosts, host being a now archaic English word for army that's still sometimes used in a related sense of multitude. So we sometimes use army in this sense too, as in a phrase like an army of ants. Now, but if Yahweh was the name of the biblical God of Israel, who are his armies? Now, to this, there are two different, though not entirely dissimilar, answers that have been given, one by Jewish tradition and one by modern biblical scholarship. So in Jewish tradition, God's armies are all the heavenly forces under his command, conceived of both angels and, you know, celestial bodies. So this Tisava HaShamayim, or the army or host of heaven, it's a biblical phrase for the totality of these bodies, as in Deuteronomy 4:19, which enjoins the Israelites. It says, quote, "Beware lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, be driven to worship them and serve them," end quote. Now, in the book of Joshua, the heavens actually fight for the Israelites when God cast down great stones from the sky on the five Amorite kings at the Battle of Gideon, and makes the sun and the moon stand still in order to prolong a battle that's going in the Israelites' favor. So it's also in the book of Joshua that we read of an angel who's a soldier in the heavenly host. And the quote is, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our foes? And he said, Nay, I come as an officer of the Lord. I come as an officer of the army of the Lord," end quote. So we're meant to understand that this was no man, but, you know, a celestial being, an angel, an Elohim, possibly a part of the divine council. Now, rabbinic Judaism, which accepted the existence of angels, had no problem with this interpretation. So the medieval Bible commentator David Kimmy, in commenting on the phrase Elohe ha Tisavot, the God of the armies, in the book of Hosea, takes armies to refer to the angels and the celestial orbs and the stars. So by celestial orbs, Kimmy had in mind the heavenly spheres that, according to medieval astronomy, revolved around the earth and carried with them the sun, the moon, planets, and the fixed stars. Now, modern Bible scholars, by contrast, are of the opinion that the Israelite Yahweh of the armies was an inheritance from ancient Canaanite mythology, which spoke of a great primeval war of the gods, wherein the storm god Baal and his allies fought against an enemy camp and prevailed. So there are echoes of that mighty struggle in the Bible, as in Psalms 74:13-14, in which God is praised for having smashed Yam by thy strength, Yam being both the Hebrew word for ocean and the name of the Canaanite sea god who was allied with Baal's enemies. So in the words of the Bible scholar Patrick Miller in his Israelite Religion and Biblical Theology, wrote, Quote, epithets such as Yahweh Sabaoth reflect the imagery so central to Israelite religion from the earliest times onward of Yahweh as a mighty warrior of God, leader of the cosmic armies, end quote. So, of course, since it's possible to see traces in the Bible of the process whereby the ancient gods of Canaan were subjugated by the God of Israel and turned into either, you know, angelic tutelaries or forces of nature or whatever, there's no real contradiction between the biblical scholars and the rabbis. Nor did later Jewish tradition entirely forget the warlike Lord of Hosts, even if this aspect of his divinity was not emphasized by it. So to this day, observant Ashkenazi Jews sing of this every Sabbath in the Song of Glory, which is attributed to the 12th century pietist Yehuda He Hasid, with which the Saturday morning service comes to an end. To quote several lines from it, the transliteration from Jonathan Sacks' Koran Siddur, divided into strophes alternately recited by the prayer leader in the congregation, here's how it goes. So the prayer leader will say, "They represented you in many visions. Through them all, you are one without divisions." Then the congregation will say, "They saw you, now old, then young, your head with gray, with black hair hung." Then the prayer leader says, "Age on the day of judgment, yet on the day of war, a young warrior with mighty hands they saw." Then the congregation says, "Triumph like a helmet he wore on his head, his right hand and holy arm to victory have led." So God, as this Song of Glory tells us, is greater than the sum of any images by which we might represent him, one of which remains the image of the conquering general war we call Lord of Hosts. So all that to say, that's the backstory. And a lot of times in just normal evangelical Protestant Christianity, this view of God as the Lord of Hosts or the God of the master of the armies, the Lord of the armies, is forgotten. And it's not really presented in that way. But we need to take it all in context. I mean, look at what Jesus does when he returns. Oh my gosh, talk about a bloodbath. Read just the last few chapters of Revelation when Jesus actually returns. It is a bloodbath. So this absolutely is, you know, it's not that you have an angry God in the Old Testament and like a loving, peaceful Jesus in the New Testament. It's not that. It's all the same God, you know? I mean, it's a trinity, of course, but it's all the same God. So we need to remember that this, our Lord Jesus Christ, is still the Lord of Hosts. You know, again, it's a Trinity thing, so Father and Son and Holy Spirit, that can get a little trippy. But ultimately, I mean, it's the same God. It's the same nature. So how much more, then, should we be motivated? How much more should we be motivated to go out there and evangelize the nations? Now, I'm not saying we bring war to the nations. You know, God has his celestial armies. But in a sense, we're brought into that fold as a faction of this. And how do we battle the spiritual war? By going and gaining ground for our side, by going and winning souls to Jesus. That's how we do it. So how much more motivation, understanding that about our amazing and mighty God? How much more humility, reverence should that teach us? And how much more motivated should we be to go out and do what he says, make disciples of all nations? All right, everybody, we have got to call it quits for today. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been a lot of fun. And again, don't worry about the future of A Daily Renegade, because we got some amazing things coming. It doesn't matter what YouTube does to us when they delete our channel, and they will. I hope that you will just go to dailyrenegade.com, and we will have a plan in place. All right, everybody. Love you all. Thank you so much. Until next time, take care and God bless.